that concludes the couple communication method. And that was the meat of the workshop. So we hope that what we shared here today, you'll be able to use in your marriage. And again, I would suggest going back and listening to those sections where you can really dig down a little bit more and apply it in your marriage. That's the key, folks. We need to apply, not just to listen, but to apply. And now that brings us to the Q&A section. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to start with the questions that were submitted ahead of time. We have a number of those, and we'll start reading those off and answering those. If you're on the webcast now, you can type in your question. I've seen a couple come through. Don't hesitate. Put them on in there. If you're on the phone, we'd love to have you call in. You can press *2 on your keypad to raise your hand, and we will unmute your line. And once we unmute your line, you'll hear us, and then you can ask your question, and we'll go from there. So let's start from the questions that were submitted.
Okay, the first question is, my wife and I have been married for 8 years and have 3 young children at home. We love our life, but struggle to get quality communication in on a regular basis. My wife cares for our children and home during the day, and when I return home from work in the early evening, she is so ready to connect with me in conversation. Inevitably, the children also vie for my attention, and the general hubbub of the dinner and evening routines make for difficult quality connecting. Do you have any suggestions for how we could approach getting that quality conversation in rather than let the sometimes hectic family life steal it away?
Yeah, this is a great question, and I can totally relate to this. So, man, this is a thing that I think needs to happen and should happen. You guys need to have a conversation. Go, look, the kids are chomping at the bit, and they're there. I'm not going to be able to talk to you, and you're not going to be able to talk to me until I'm in hanging out with them. So my suggestion is, hey, you know what? Get the pleasantries in. Yes, sometimes it's just the quick kiss, the quick, I love you, glad you're home. Pay attention to the kiddos, but know that you're going to get them to bed and then that you're going to spend some time together afterwards. For Elisa and I, this is how we typically run our household. I'll come in, pleasantries, activities, kids are running here, there, we're in, we're out, we're doing this, we're doing that. What we do though is once dinner is done, it's bedtime, and for us, we make sure our kids' doors are closed, we let them know that, and then we get our time in the evening to share what's happened, what's vital. I would also say if you can connect during the day somehow, even if it's just a couple of text messages to each other, whatever you can do to stay connected, even in small little bits, is vital.
One other strategy that I didn't learn about until our children were older was that I've heard from other moms and dads where they set up a time. There's like a 15-minute window when daddy comes home from work, and the kids can be playing, they can do that kind of stuff, but that's 15 minutes for mom and dad to reconnect, just to, for her, like you said, she's ready to have adult conversation after taking care of 3 young kids. So just setting up that time, maybe there's a special thing that the kids do every day during that 15 minutes so that the two of you can do that ahead of time. I wish I had known that when our kids were young. We would have definitely instituted it. But like Tony said, for us, we worked it out so that I know that I'm not being ignored when he walks in the door. It's just the kids need to see daddy. Okay, next question is... Our question is, how do you balance the need of one partner who would like sex more often than the other? In this case, the greater need of the husband. Okay, so that's the question.
All right. So the big thing here is, I think, you're starting at the top. It's our state of our marriage conversation. And we are going to discuss our intimacy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Going to discuss the intimacy lifestyle. And I'm going to just describe that right now for you guys, because this is key to this question, obviously. Intimacy lifestyle is that each of you are going to determine how many times you're going to have sex in a week together. You're going to determine this. And for example, Elisa and I, we determined through a state of our marriage conversation that we were willing, both of us were willing to have sex 2 times a week. And we split the week up. So Sunday, Mondays, and Tuesdays, those are Elisa's days to, on one of those days, to choose and initiate sex. On Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I choose a day when I'm going to initiate sex. But it all started with a state of our marriage conversation. We have worked with couples who, hey, they came to an agreement that it was going to be 1 time a week. Others have agreed to 3-4 times a week. That is that state of our marriage conversation where you guys are opening up, discussing it, working it out, possibly even putting it on the calendar so you know as you're working through that.
So the next question says, my husband and I communicate a lot on the telephone as his work has him away 90% of the time. I'd love to get tips on fighting, discussing, and connecting over the phone and long distance communication tips. Tony and I were long distance for the first year, roughly, of our dating relationship. And we probably made every dating or every communication mistake via the phone, known to man. One of the things that I have to say at the very beginning of this, as far as tips, please do not fight via text.
Yeah.
You actually have to hear the person's voice. You have to talk through the fights. So many of the miscommunications that happen in relationships happen because you're, thumb texting with all caps because you're really mad and you're just flinging these zingers back and forth to one another. And you're not even taking into account the fact that the other person may be in a meeting, they may be driving, they're reading the text. It's just, it's bad. And I don't say that very often. Like, I don't make those declarations like, this is a bad behavior. Text fighting is a bad behavior. The other part of that is, just like we said for the face-to-face conversations with the state of our marriage, you need to set up times to have the bigger conversations. If there's something going on and he's not going to be home for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, then you need to schedule, hey, babe, we need to talk about this. What does your work schedule look like this week? What does your availability look like so that you and I can both be on the phone at the same time to talk?
What I would suggest, though, too, with technology, we have FaceTime, we have Skype, we have ways that we can see each other because, like we said, that body language is a big and a key component to being able to communicate effectively as a couple. So setting up your state of our marriage conversation and you're calendaring it and you're getting it there, the next thing is making sure that these conversations are ones that you can see each other. You're still going to use a couple communication method. You're still going to go through that the same way as if you were together in the same room. I know it's a little bit more difficult to get the feeling of what's happening because I know for myself there are times when the touch, the arm around the shoulder, the kiss can diffuse some things. Through a screen, it's going to be harder. And yet, being able to see your spouse instead of just on the phone, I think makes a big difference. But it all starts at that state of our marriage conversation.
The other part of that too is recommendations on fighting over technology is that you have to establish your fighting rules ahead of time. Like, you guys should actually probably have a state of our marriage conversation on how we're going to handle disagreements so that you both know, look, if somebody says, I need a timeout, can I call you back in an hour? It's not an avoidance. It's a, I've got to calm down and process this. And given the fact that we're so far away from each other, if we were in the same room, I would just say, like, I need to go for a walk. Here, you may actually have to table that conversation. And this is going to be something the two of you have to talk through. Your fighting styles, you know what your tendencies are. And if one of you needs space, it's given with the understanding that the conversation isn't ignored, it's just tabled until that time. So here is a question from a wife. She says, my husband works long days and gets home right before dinner. Once dinner is eaten, dishes are put away, kids showered and tucked into bed, it can be later in the evening before we get to talk. We've had many good conversations climbing into bed at night, but our question is how to guard when emotions or tiredness get the better of you and a simple discussion turns horribly wrong very fast. Our bedroom is a comfortable and safe place where we feel free to open up, where we feel open to converse and discuss any conversational topic. But we've fallen into the trap many a time where a deep conversational topic has come up and one of us is too tired to actively respond and search for answers, which of course makes the other spouse mad and left feeling hurt. How do we guard against this? The first thing that I would say is at the very onset, when you start to feel like the conversation is taking that right turn into something more serious, something more deep, something that has the potential to be one of these conversations that you've described, you need to stop and ask the question of each other, do I have the energy reserves to have this conversation right now? Because what happens is once you get past that turn and you start on that slippery slope down into the conversation, it's very hard to pull back at that point in time. But if you ask the question and the answer is honestly, no, I'm exhausted. I don't have the energy to talk about this. Can we start it tomorrow? Can we set up a time to talk about it? Then what that conveys to your spouse is, look, this is still important to me. Like, I'm not telling you I'm not going to talk about this. I just want to be in a position, and this is what we talked about in that, when we were talking about choose your battles, choose your time. You want to give your spouse the best of you. You want to be the best version of yourself in a conversation that is deep and is fraught with emotions. If it's late and you're tired and cranky, you're not doing that. You give your spouse the gift of yourself when you say, I don't have the energy reserves tonight. I want to talk about this. Let's set up a time.
I feel exhausted right now, and nothing good is going to come out of this conversation. Could we please table this? Let's write it down, and let's table this until we are both awake and able to discuss this at a time when we both have the energy. Been there. You know, and then all of a sudden you're spinning out of control and you're tired and you're starting to cry, and it's just like, oh my gosh, we're just so tired and we're going nowhere. So I would just say, stop it before you even get there. I get it. It's a big conversation. But if you're exhausted, you're tired, you've had a long day, table it. Table it. You are doing yourself so much more good for yourself and your marriage than trying to get the answers right then and there.
This is all about setting up those rules, those guardrails for your marriage, and setting them up before you find yourself in that situation, establishing your guardrails, establishing how you're going to navigate these conversations beforehand. Now, we've come up right up on the 90-minute mark, and we still have a number of questions to answer. Tony and I are going to keep going until all the questions have been answered, but I just want to be respectful for those of you that, you know, had budgeted 90 minutes. You're still going to get the replay. You're going to get all of the additional questions that we answered. I just want you to be aware that we know what time it is, but we're going to keep going because you guys have got questions, and it is our commitment to you that we keep answering those questions.
Yeah, and if you do have questions, you can continue to ask them. If you're on the webcast, you can continue to ask those right there on the left-hand side. All right, here we go with another one. We're still on the questions that got submitted before the workshop. My spouse has not asked for forgiveness. How can I forgive him if there is no acknowledgement? How can I communicate this?
Forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with your spouse and everything to do with you. Forgiveness is a choice that we make as to how we are going to respond and or react to how we've been hurt in the past. There have been lots of people who have hurt me over the years. You know, I mean, Tony and I have had our situations, other people, things like that, where I've been hurt, and that those people have never asked for forgiveness. Sometimes they don't even know that they've hurt me. And yet it's my choice on how I handle that. Do I hold the grudge? Do I hold this over their head? Do I treat them differently? Or do I choose to forgive? Forgiveness is all about the forgiver.
Yeah. Here's a question we have. How do you counter a bad habit of both spouses deferring heavily to the other? Meaning, we both always go along with the other's ideas and our suggestions, regardless of feelings, and we seem to have a problem breaking away and doing our own thing.
What do you want to do? I don't know, honey. What do you want to do? I don't know. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. Tony and I actually use that as a skit when we speak in front of live audiences. And the reason that we do that is because it resonates with just about everybody we come in contact with. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to make anybody feel bad. So we're just going to go along for the ride. Really, what you're doing, though, is you're hurting your marriage because you're not being open and vulnerable. Sometimes you are going to do things that you don't want to do, and you'll be surprised to find out that you enjoy them. But if this is the habit that the two of you have gotten in, then you need to sit down and have that conversation and say, we are both, and based on how that statement, that question was worded, it's obvious to me that both the husband and the wife are aware that they engage in this behavior. And so what I want to say is you're both aware of it. So let's sit down and have that conversation where you're going to take off those masks and you're going to say, you know what? For 24 hours, for one weekend, we are going to practice. If one of us asks a question, we're just going to say, honestly, I don't want to do that, or I do want to do that. And you have to get in the habit of actually being honest and authentic with your spouse. It's not going to come naturally because you've spent so much time not doing it. But you start with those baby steps. You start with, we're going on a date night. Honey, do you want to go to a burger place, or do you want to go to an Italian place? Instead of the default of saying, I don't know, what do you want to do? You say, remember, we're practicing being authentic. And so hopefully she'll say either burger place or Italian place, or really, I don't want to go to either one of those. I want Chinese. This is another skill that the two of you have to develop in your communication toolbox. It's the choice that on those interactions, you're not going to just defer out of habit, but you're going to state your mind, because honestly, your spouse wants to know what you think. They just don't want you deferring to them all the time.
Yeah, and another thing I would suggest is, in our first book, Strip Down, 13 Keys to Unlocking Intimacy in Your Marriage, one of the keys is take the lead. And this is something that I think every couple should do, from date night to, gosh, just determining what you're going to go, if you're going to watch a movie. Sometimes you just got to take the lead. And this can go back and forth. Elise and I tend to do this. And it's like, hey, it's my month to take the lead for date night. We're going to a Mexican joint, and it's going to be in Encinitas, California. That's where it's a coastal town here, about 30 minutes away from where we live. We're going to go up there. It's a great place. We're going to have a good time. We're going to walk around afterwards. Boom. Done. And there is no hemming and hawing about what do you think, or yeah, we'll just go with it because that's what you want to do. It's really interesting because couples who take us up on that, it empowers them. It empowers the marriage, because now one person in the couple is able to just go, this is what we're going to do. And the next month, the other person gets to do it in the couple. And we've done this for a long time when it comes to date nights. And we've experienced so many new things because of it. Because my likes are different than Elisa's. And we've learned that. And we've learned to accept that. We've grown older together. You know, when we first got married, we were 23 and 22. We've changed. And learning each other's new likes and dislikes is part of the process. But by taking the lead, you're able to go, hey, we're breaking out of this. We're going to break out of this, and we're going to just go do something. And I'm going along for the ride. I love it when Elisa just goes, hey, we're doing this and this. Let's go. Let's check it out. Let's have fun.
It's always nice to get a break from all the decision making. And that's what taking the lead allows you, just to mentally get a break from that. This question says, when I open up and tell my spouse something, I am often given a solution, and he gets upset if I don't take the advice. What is the best way to respond to this? I hear this same question from a lot of women, and part of that has to do with the fact that there are quite a few men out there who are wired as problem solvers. I'm going out there and I'm finding a solution, and that's the way they're wired. And we've had this situation in our very own marriage. And what I had to learn to do was to tell Tony, if we were having a conversation where I was presenting a problem to him, I let him know at the very onset of the discussion if A, I need his help solving the problem, or if B, I just need him to listen to me. Because sometimes I talk myself into the solution just by having him nod his head and say, uh-huh, okay, and then what? And sometimes I need the way his brain works to help me come up with a solution. But if he knows ahead of time, he's not giving me advice on those days that I just need him to listen to me. He gives me advice when I have asked for it. The other part of that too is to let your husband know ahead of time, or your wife, depending on what the roles are in your marriage, that yes, it's okay for them to give you advice, but depending on how you work through this in your own head, you may not take the advice. You're appreciative of their input. You're still going to work things out on your own. I find that letting people know what the expectations are, what you're going to do ahead of time, this is especially effective with spouses and children. If you let them know, yes, I need your help, yes, this is what I'm going to do, it diffuses a lot of that tension because they already know, is she looking for help or is she just looking for an ear to listen?
All right, our next question. This is a little long one, so bear with me here. I have a hard time getting a straight answer from my husband when I ask him what he would like to do when we have free time to hang out. When I make a suggestion, he often answers, okay, if you want to, or is that what you want to do? He rarely says yes or no directly to my question. I try to explain that I'd like to know if he's interested in the activity I suggested. He says he doesn't want to answer directly because he thinks I will give in and not do the activity, like listening to a marriage podcast, for example, if he says he's not interested. But I can't make that judgment call if he doesn't let me know where he stands on something. This goes back to taking the lead. Take that lead. Go for it. Just go, we're doing this. That's it. We are going to go play miniature golf on our free, on our weekend just to go have fun. Let's go. Grab them, grab her, and just go have fun. There have been times when I have honestly have had to look at Elise and go, we are going to the beach and we're just going to go. We don't have the kids and Elisa doesn't like being cold. So in the winter months here in San Diego, and I know some of you are going to laugh, but it gets cold here for us, like in the 50s. And I still enjoy being at the beach. There's something about hearing the water and just walking on the beach. Elisa's cold. I get it. And at those times, I just go, let's go. Because if I wait for her, she'll say, well, she'll hem and haw. Once we're out there, we're having a blast. We're having a good time. Now, we're not spending 2 hours on the beach. We may be grabbing a little bite and then we're just doing a quick, 10-minute walk or, we're hanging out on the cliffs up high and just sort of sitting in our car looking at the water and the waves at night. So I think it's a big time. It's taking the lead in our marriage is important. Too often, I think Elisa said it was, we're just sort of floating in the wind. It's like, well, if you don't want it, well, man, take the lead, stand up for it, go for it. Have the conversation, know that you guys are going to be doing this. I think you guys will enjoy your marriage and what you experience so much more. Because you're not waiting for your spouse to say yes or no to what you would like to try.
The other part of this is that I would play him the section of this workshop that talks about open up and be vulnerable. I would share with him exactly what you've learned tonight, if he hasn't already been listening to this workshop, because he may not feel yet that it's safe for him to voice his opinion or to even have an opinion. He may need to hear it repeatedly from you. It is okay to tell me that you don't want to do something. I will still decide whether or not I want to do it. I mean, if you want to listen to the marriage podcast, you can still listen to the marriage podcast. Hopefully it's the One Extraordinary Marriage show. But he needs to know that it's safe to have a different opinion. And the only way that's going to happen is if he hears it from you and possibly even from the material from this workshop.
Next question here. Is the suggested 15 minutes per week for each or for both? Example, I have a topic, she has a topic, for a total of 15-ish or 15-ish each. We would suggest that if both of you have a topic, you're going to make 15 minutes of time in your schedule for both of you each week. It's 30 minutes. Make it happen. Because it gets really, it gets off balance if, hey, I'm going to do my 15 minutes this week. You got to wait for yours next week. Make it so that both of you are able to look at your topics, especially if they're state of our marriage type stuff. Hey, we're going to just schedule out 15 minutes for each of our topics for a total of 30 minutes in a week. Believe me, that is not a lot of time. It really isn't. It's going to go by really quick, but you're going to see such growth in each other and in your marriage. It's well worth it. Remember, folks, when we talk about some of these things like 15 minutes a week or maybe it may be 30 minutes a week, we're not saying that you're going to be doing this forever and ever, you know, until, you know, you pass. This is for a season of life. You know, you're going to be in a season. It may be a season where you need to spend 30 minutes a week. Maybe meaning some of you may look at it and go, you know what, we really need to spend an hour a week. Okay, but it's not forever. Elise and I don't do a state of our marriage conversation every week anymore. We have gone to the point where those big things, they're out, they're open, they're done. We've taken off the mask. We use I feel, I heard. We've done all of that. We've extended grace. So when big things do come up, they're quick because we've worked through them. And you're going to be able to do it as well. So understand that. I don't want you guys to sit here because a lot of folks out there be like, well, you're going to be doing this forever and ever. No, do it. It's almost like I'm a road cyclist. It's like training for an event. You know, I train for an event. The event comes. I know where the end date or when I'm going to be doing it. And I work backwards and I go, okay, the event is at the end of June. I'm going to work backwards 8 weeks. And from that point, I'm going to do so many miles on Saturday, so many miles on Sunday. I'm going to be doing certain workouts during the week. That may be for you guys. You guys may need an end date. You may go, hey, you know what? We want to touch on all of these things by the end of 2014. How do we do that? For some of you, maybe less, you know, but don't think you're going to be doing this forever and ever. I mean, don't, please don't do that. That's not good for you guys.
And remember the 15 minutes, anytime we throw out a number, that's a suggestion.
Yeah.
You may find that you guys start talking for 15 minutes and it's going well and you want to go to 30. That's okay. Or you may find that you struggle getting to 15 and so you stay at 15. You have to figure out what works for the two of you. These are suggestions. So another question was, let me pull it up here. Creating boundaries with in-laws has always been an issue for us, especially now that new chapters are opening in our lives. For a couple who is married a long time, how do we communicate boundaries with in-laws? Oh, we have been here. We have been here in spades on both sides. And one of the things that we've shared with you throughout this presentation is that the skills that we have given you tonight, today, whatever time of day you're listening to this, these are skills that you can use with any relationship that you have. You can choose to use it with a boss. You can choose to use it with a friend. And yes, you can even choose to use it with your parents. Now, I know as I approach my 40th birthday that there are still times when I get around my parents and I could be the 12-year-old girl living in my house. That's when having these strategies comes in extremely beneficial, because you need to choose the battle. You need to discuss, you know, figure out what is that topic that we need to discuss with the in-laws. When are we going to have that conversation with them? Sitting around the table at Thanksgiving is probably not the best time when you've got the entire audience of cousins and aunts and uncles. Using I feel and I heard, that may be a little bit harder to get them to come on board with, but that doesn't mean that you can't use those tools. And you can share with them, palms up. They may actually go for it. And you also have to extend them grace. You know, there are a lot of behavior patterns that we get into that are not effective. And this happens a lot of time with in-laws. I mean, we had to Tony and I put such a boundary around our marriage at one point in time that we moved, you know, 1,500 miles away to get boundary because we were having in-law issues. That's how dramatic we got. But here's the thing. When the two of you become stronger as a unit, remember that marriage is the union of two imperfect people. When those two people get on the same page and understand the dynamics that are going on in your own marriage, it makes it so much easier for the two of you to handle the dynamics that are going on in the extended family. And it's not going to be easy. It's like I told a couple I was coaching with today, I told them, I said, the thing with family is that they are able to get under your skin like nothing else. And it's always going to be that way. And that's where you want to fall back on these tools to go, okay, choose my battle. Use I feel, I heard you. Set up a time to talk. Practice palms up. Extend grace. Listen to understand, not to interrupt. Gun, I think, is this the last one? Or are we might be coming up on the last one or two questions. If you've got something that's been, you've been thinking, I want to ask this, I want to, you know, maybe I should ask this, maybe I shouldn't. Now is the time to submit that question, because when we wrap up these last couple of questions, then we're going to be ending the workshop. So make sure if you've got anything you want to know, you type it in the box. Let's see. When I approach my spouse with a concern or issue, it is often taken as a criticism. How can I word it better so this does not happen? This is a common set of circumstances that a lot of couples have. And part of it is that perception, that agenda that we already have. It may come from your husband or wife's family, like that, like anytime something was said, anything constructive, it was said as a criticism. And so that is their model. That's what they've heard. It also depends on how you phrase it. Tone of voice is very important. Timing is very important. When and how you discuss this with your spouse matters. If it's like right in the moment, you're like, you're not doing that right. Okay, they're going to take that as criticism. But if you can set up a time and say, honey, you know, I want to talk about what's going on with how we're running our finances, or I want to talk about what's going on with, you know, visiting your parents every weekend or whatever it may be, and you share from your heart using I feel, remember, that is a valuable tool, I feel X when you Y. The X is your feeling, the Y is their action. Letting them know that this is a concern that you have. This is not a reflection on them. You're not picking on them. You are not judging them. This is something that you see as a concern or issue in your marriage, and you want their help. That's a key phrase there. You want their help in solving this. For those of you that were listening a little while ago when somebody asked the question about, you know, what do I do when my spouse wants to give me advice and I'm not ready for it? This is one of those times to tell them that you want the advice. How do we handle this situation? How do we work together to make this better for both of us so that it's not a criticism, it's not a negative, but it becomes a positive, constructive in your marriage?
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. We have answered all of our questions. We want to thank all of you for joining us here for He Zigs, She Zags. Get your communication on the same path. We hope that the couple communication method will allow you to really dive into your marriage, dig deeper into specific communication issues that you are facing, and then that way you can grow yourself and your marriage as you move forward. If you want to contact us, you can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. We have a contact us tab right there. You can click it and email us directly. For some of you who are listening to this, you may be going, man, we have a little more that we need to work through, and we may need somebody in there to help us work through it. If you are one of those folks, you can get a free 30-minute consultation call with Elisa and look at one challenge that you are facing, and she will share solutions with you that we can offer. Go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/30 minutes. If you want more resources like our books, audiobooks, ebooks, and other programs, go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/get-help. Again, thank you for joining us here for He Zigs, She Zags. We will catch you on our next workshop.